Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, welcome one and all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. I am your host, Tim, and it is the Thanksgiving episode. We are Thanksgiving Eve, right? This is the time, the song always reminds me of Thanksgiving, and I'm glad you can be here with me. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I thought we'd share this night prior together as we normally would on a FSHD Society Radio Show. And kind of make it a casual show, have some maybe conversation, just chat along in the Facebook Messenger there is perfect, or Facebook page there as the show airs. We're going to talk about, what are you doing for Thanksgiving tomorrow? What's different? Is anything different? Are you deciding just to still travel or do what you're going to do normally? Or did you decide to kind of hunker down, stay home, and maybe make a different tradition, even if it's just for this year? So I want to know more about it all in this FSHD Society Radio Show Thanksgiving episode. You want to email me? You can. FSHDradio@FSHDsociety.org. We always have that inbox open, so feel free to do that. So, yeah. For me, I guess I always like to take the lead a little bit on my own questions, and that is we're going to kind of hunker down. We're not really doing anything different in that regard, though. I mean, we never really traveled far as a family. All my family is within the state. I have a brother that lives in California. I think he might be maybe making a tour. He's already been around his friends in Chicago a little bit, I believe. So he might come around. So there's always, you know, there's always fellowship, I guess, to be had if it's at home or if it's somewhere else. And you know, for me, I'm just really thrilled that I have a family, right? That so many people are possibly alone or not able to be with loved ones. Maybe they've lost them, or it's just difficult, right? This can be a difficult time of year for a lot of people. And I'm totally aware of that. And I know I am fortunate and one of the lucky ones that have people to share these days with, even if it's different or more difficult because of COVID and the quarantine and all that kind of stuff. Hi, Marianne. Thanks for joining us. I'm not sure your comment. Sorry, my dog just made an appearance. My instant laughter here just came busting through the door. So he's here to say Thanksgiving blessings to all of you. Exercise for neck pain, Marianne says. Okay. Is that what you're doing for Thanksgiving, or is that what you've done in the past? I know we talked about exercise last show, and I'm not exactly the exercise guru, but if you're inquiring about that, I guess I would say Mitch was our guest last week and had amazing advice for those things. He's through Ramp Fitness. Check him out on Instagram at MitchWadePDX. Might be able to help you a little more in that regard. Sorry, that was kind of a left field question, but I'm willing to handle it. Angela Davis chimes in. Hello, everyone. I'm swimming in with my daughter indoors. It helps my back pain, and it's open on Thanksgiving Day. We will eat dinner with my parents as we have. Let's see here. In our pod right now. Blessings to all. All right, cool. That's great. That's awesome. So sounds like some good plans in store for Angela. Thanks for sharing, guys. I love it. Throughout this episode, though, I also wanted to share some events that are coming up with FSHD Society. Giving Tuesday is less than a week away, where we do a radiothon. It's kind of a marathon from 8 a.m. Central to 10 p.m. The whole day will be on air. We'll have a couple breaks in there. And great guests are going to be in there. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about some of the Thanksgiving stories I found that maybe kind of puts us in that mood as a community. I'll share some of those. So kind of a Thanksgiving themed episode, if you will. So feel free to chime in. That would be great. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So anywho, this is my first little story, I guess I wanted to share, keeping in theme of Thanksgiving. You can feel free to ask other questions if it's neck pain, as someone was asking before, or whatnot. That's fine. I can totally feel those for you too and do my best. But I guess I wanted to kind of keep within the theme, and some of these are not necessarily within our community per se, but you know, it's still Thanksgiving stories nonetheless, and maybe some things that make us thankful, and some funny ones I found in here. I also have some audio clips of some things that I wanted to share too, that I found in theme of Thanksgiving. So kind of a little bit of this and that, you know, try to keep it all in store here for you, and kind of mix it up a little bit and keep it a little light today. No guest is due. You are the guest. So as you chime in, as Angela Davis has done and other listeners, your input of what you're doing on Thanksgiving, what you look forward to throughout maybe the day tomorrow, and what you plan on doing and making, you know, the best of it if you end up kind of changing your normal tradition. We're going to kind of talk on that too. And when I think about things that have to do with Thanksgiving, people seem to talk about things that they're thankful for, things that they have, their blessings, and rightfully so. You know, Thanksgiving started, you know, as this reenactment, so to speak, right? We all know it from when we were kids in elementary school, to celebrate the harvest and other blessings of this past year. So we've kind of molded it after, in 1621, when there was a harvest fest shared by the English colonists, the Pilgrims, as we know it, and Wampanoag people also were a part of it, and they shared a meal together. So that's kind of where we all base this on, which is all well and good, and I don't know how accurate that history is or not. I mean, I find it on Google like everybody else and learned it when I was in elementary school and understood what it was about, and then we'd always list off what we were thankful for. And I welcome you to do that, of course. But when I think about things I'm thankful for, I seem to kind of put them into, I don't want to say like maybe like silos or, you know, things. If it's family, my parents, which is family, or being a parent, I'm grateful to be a parent. Being a coach, having great coaches and mentors in my life, and all those kind of things. So I think what I'll do is we're going to take a little break. We'll hit a break button a little bit, kind of get reset, let your brain think about that. Think about those certain maybe things you're thankful for within your life. Has there been teachers or mentors or family or kids? You know, it's just something to think about. Let's take a break. We'll be on the backside of this and talk a little more about Thanksgiving traditions, etc., here on the FSHD Society Radio Show.
You're tuned in to the FSHD Society Radio Show.
Hey folks, this is Tim, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show. I wanted to take a moment to talk to you a little bit about getting involved. The FSHD Society is the largest network of patients, families, clinics, researchers, and friends, all advocating for FSH muscular dystrophy. Activating the FSHD community is essential to progress. You are the driving force that enables the FSHD Society to support and empower families and to fund groundbreaking research to find treatment and a cure. Want to learn more how to get involved, either in a chapter in your area or in a walk and roll event? Visit FSHDSociety.org.
All I know is you always give me something. You always give me something. Oh, 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 oh. I never will forget you. Never will forget you.
Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. That's right. Get involved. Visit FSHDSociety.org to find out more about local chapters near you. We've had some great people chatting in already. Ann Williams saying, happy Thanksgiving to our FSHD community. A special thanks to co-founders Dan Perez and the late Stephen Jacobson. Absolutely. Well put. Thank you, Ann, for sharing that. Michael says, sorry, got to fly. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Thanks for tuning in for the time you could give us. Michael, I appreciate it. Maybe he has to fly for real. Haha, that could be cool. And based on Thanksgiving, like I was mentioning before, we took the quick break to kind of regroup and kind of get your thoughts in line. And I think about parenting and family and those things, of course, and grateful that I am a parent doing, the, obviously, like many of you, the best job we can. And it doesn't come with a manual or anything like that, but I'm thankful for the guidance of my parents and then others that kind of helped through it. And when I was looking for certain stories or audio clips to play to kind of get us in that, if you call it Thanksgiving spirit, or I guess my goal in with all of this is to kind of say, we're in this together, this whole COVID thing. And if you're at home and you wanted something to kind of maybe get your mind wrapped around Thanksgiving a little bit, even though it's tough to do that this year, tough to find thanks with what we've all been dealing with, I searched and found StoryCorps, to be honest, and they have this great selection of Thanksgiving audio clips out there. So if you ever visit StoryCorps, there's my plug for them. It's quick little interviews of people, some people you know and some you don't. A lot of them are inspiring, and some of the Thanksgiving clips I found were nice clips, and they put you kind of in that mindset, and definitely parenting and being without. And with the person that I saw right away on the front page of this was on the webpage was Fauci, and he had his wife with him doing an interview, a very candid interview between each other, not scripted through media or anything like that. And he was talking about being without his kids on Thanksgiving. So I kind of wanted to play that with you because we know who this man is. He's been in the news a lot. I thought it was very Thanksgiving-ish. So here's that clip for you.
In 2020, many of us will be spending Thanksgiving away from loved ones. So in order to stay socially distant and still feel connected, some families will be recording remote StoryCorps interviews about their lives, like this one.
What do you remember about the first time we actually ever met?
You weren't as scary as people made you out to be. Everybody was afraid of you. And when I first saw you, I thought, what are they talking about? He's young and handsome and doesn't seem that scary.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci and his wife, Dr. Christine Grady, who sat down to record this StoryCorps interview. They'll be spending the holidays without their three adult daughters.
Do you remember what it felt like to first become a dad?
Yeah, I was afraid.
Afraid of what?
That we had this responsibility for this baby. I was this highly respected physician, you know, and I can take care of any adult you want, but I don't know how to take care of a baby. So I was very nervous. When you have a baby in the house that's just born, you're afraid they're going to stop breathing or something. But I figured this has been going on through millennia.
So you could handle it.
So I could handle it.
You've been a runner as long as I've known you. Do you see any parallels between parenting and running?
Yes. The long haul of it. It's an Uber marathon.
Yeah.
So you just have to hang in there and not give up.
I think I approach parenting with everything I've got. And I think I approach my work with everything I got too. So, and I know you do.
I mean, the idea of sticking with something and not giving up,
yeah,
even when it's painful. What we're going through now is very, very stressful. Stressful because there's enormous and insurmountable work to do. And, you know, the quicker you get a vaccine out that's safe and effective, the more lives are being saved.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Our daughters have decided not to join us for Thanksgiving because their daddy is in a risk group because of my age. What are you going to miss the most about that?
I'm going to miss having them here. Now, Thanksgiving is such a special time of year, and I'm sad that they're not going to be here, but we've got an enormous amount to be thankful for. So what are you going to miss about Thanksgiving?
I think much the same thing. I've been busy throughout my entire life, and I'm conscious of the fact that I missed a lot of things when they were growing up. So any chance I get to be with them is precious.
If you could leave a message with them from this interview, is there something you would want them to know?
Yeah, that I'm proud of their decision.
Proud of them in so many ways. I think we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah, the thing that I'm most thankful is, quite frankly, is you.
Yeah. Well, we have each other.
Yeah, we have each other for sure.
So that's Dr. Anthony Fauci and his wife talking about Thanksgiving and how their adult children will not be with them. They're making sacrifices. Their kids opted not to do that, the traditional gathering. And I know we have Zoom, and it is not the same. And I'm not going to kid myself and say it is. It isn't. And I get that, but it's what we have. And I think that those that have chosen to do that out of safety or what they believe is the right thing to do, then more power to you. For those that are traveling, be safe. For God's sake, you know, be safe and be careful who you interact with and what's around you in your environment. You know, we don't want the numbers to go crazy. So I thought it was very fitting to put his story in with his wife talking about how he's sacrificing as well, like all of us, and trying to be safer and so we can have a good Christmas and so we can have a great 2021 as, you know, we turn it over. The other thing that I think about when it comes to Thanksgiving, besides parenting, being a parent, perspectives from other parents, like that Fauci clip I played, which I thought was very simple and interesting, was just the idea of family. As Sue Drescher joins us, hi, everyone. She says, Happy Turkey Eve. Happy Turkey Eve to you. This next clip I wanted to play in regards to Thanksgiving is just about family. And this Quandra family has had a family reunion since... I'm looking at my notes here, since 1926. And their Thanksgiving, you know, or in August, they normally would have the family reunion, and they had to sacrifice that. And it kind of talks about that, about, to me, the sacrifices we're making for the greater safety of others. And I wanted to play this and share it with you about the Quandra family, how they had family reunions since 1926, and because of COVID-19, they had to put it on hiatus.
This is a story about how the COVID-19 pandemic is impacting a powerful tradition in African-American life, family reunions. Every year for nearly a century, the Quandra family has been coming together to honor and preserve their history, one which includes the story of Nancy Carter Quandra, who was one of the 124 enslaved people freed by George and Martha Washington. The Quandra family reunion has taken place during the second weekend of August since 1926. But for their 95th celebration, they were faced with a difficult decision. Speaking remotely through StoryCorps Connect, Rahul Amin Quandra and his cousin, Alicia R. Grett, talked about reunions past and how this one was different from the rest.
The first Quandra family reunion was held on August the 15th, 1926. They kept a record book. And the record book talked about succotash. It talked about potatoes, cakes and pies, plenty of iced tea. It's always a very loving, very happy occasion. There are a lot of hugs, a lot of talk about new babies, who has gotten married, and sadly, who has passed away. This one would have been the 95th reunion, but because of COVID-19, the family decided to not have a face-to-face this year.
I went to like a family reunion when I was really little, but I think it was a little bit later that I realized how precious it is to be a part of a family like this.
The Quandra family is a very old and extended family. When George Washington died, he provided in his will for the freedom of his enslaved people. And one of those people was Nancy Carter, and she married Charles Quandra. So this is how it gets started. Your great-grandmother, Gladys Gwanda Tansel, was one of those griots who was a keeper of the story. Her interest was sparked as a child because she went to her first reunion in 1930. Your great-grandmother and my father went to college together. And she always has such interesting things to talk about.
So if you could pass one thing on to me, what would it be?
Well, the one thing that I would pass on to you is that you are the keeper of the stories.
Oh, okay.
I have to tell you, the lack of sustained interest has bothered me. I'll be 77 in December. I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm definitely going to put an emphasis on this for like my kids. And as we've seen this year, you never know when your last one could be. And I think it's important to capture those opportunities while you still have them in your grasp. And I'm going to do what I can on my end to keep the spirit of the family alive.
That's the story of the Quandra family, you know, sacrificing not only their family reunions, but I'll guarantee there's some of their Thanksgiving traditions. It speaks to the traditions. And I think some people might be afraid that with this tradition being a little bit hijacked over COVID-19, is that going to disrupt Thanksgiving from here forward? I would think not. I think if anything, it might even give us a perspective of, I miss this or I miss that. I miss being around those people. I didn't see them. When will I get a chance to see them again? Almost like a missed opportunity. And I think that's what drives people to still gather tomorrow if they've been tested or did things that they believe is going to keep them safer, but any means necessary. Maybe they want to see that loved one in case it's the last time. And that I get. And the Quandra family clip, I had to play that because it speaks to the thankfulness of family, being the opportunity to grow the family, keep it going. I mean, a reunion like that since 1926, that's unbelievable. It's just something to recognize on this Thanksgiving and this Thanksgiving Eve. Be grateful to your family. Be grateful for what you have. You never know when something like this, right, disrupts your world. Other things, I didn't want to get too dark and dreary throughout Thanksgiving Eve here. I do have some fun stories to share as well. Feel free to share yours. Maybe it's a Thanksgiving disaster that you had when it came to the food or something of that nature. I have a couple stories I found to share that way as well. One of the things I'm also thankful for that, like I said, the parenting and family and being able to be a parent and have a family that I can be surrounded by as it's grown since I've been married and kind of married into a larger family. To be honest, my wife has a lot of aunts and cousins, and not seeing them is we don't see them often anyhow on Thanksgiving itself, but there's been opportunities where we could have seen them and we didn't because of COVID-19, going back to the sacrifice of visiting with family that you haven't seen for a while. And I also think about how grateful I am to be a coach and be involved with young people in regards to not just in sport or in competition, but in their lives and how school is going and how things are going with them and getting a front row seat into their development as a person. It's just, I'm always grateful for that. And so many times I'm just blown away, not just seeing my own kids go through it, but others from different families. And, you know, being a part of that is a huge part of my life. Very grateful for that. And when COVID hit, it seemed like part of that life was disrupted for me. I couldn't do a lot of the coaching, couldn't be around those kids to not just develop their gameplay, but them as people. I shook myself free from that kind of like doldrum feeling and turned to Zoom like so many. We did training and we adapted. And I look forward to kind of carrying on this season, what could very well be a regular season of sport. But I had to add this part because this happened today. I didn't have it in my list of things I wanted to talk about. It was kind of thrown at me at the end here of my day. I got a surprise text from a player's parent. And it's actually a player that's been on this show. His name is Ryan Bindle, and he's raised money for the FSHD Society through his school. I think somewhere around $5,000. This was a couple years ago. And he's always had an interest in our community and what we're doing. He's fully aware of our fundraising events and through his mom and dad's Facebook, keeps an eye on how we're doing and what we're doing. And today he wanted to pay a visit. So we did. And totally by surprise. So Ryan swings by from distance, and it gives me a bag. And inside the bag is a great card saying thank you for all I've done and this and that over the season. And usually you get those at the end of the year of the baseball season in July, but probably because of an odd season. And fitting for Thanksgiving, he was showing his thanks and his gratitude. But he also included a book. And I was blown away because that's what I gave each player was the coffee bean book that they could read and learn and grow with as they go through their young lives. And even into adulthood, it's very much creating a positive atmosphere. Ryan hands me this package and I opened it up and it's this book, and it's a positivity leader book that has to do with coaching that he read himself. And he said he immediately thought of me when he read it and thought I could use it and enjoy it. That's amazing that this, you know, 12-year-old kid is thinking above just his own what's happening for his life on Thanksgiving or what is he not doing, and reaches out to me and gives back. That's my kind of little Thanksgiving story that I just had today. And it was awesome. It really was awesome. Those are the moments that I'm grateful for. That it feels kind of selfish, like I'm in this because I want to help. I want to be a part of young people's lives and see what I can do to be a positive influence where there's so much negative, even though I fight being negative, you know, more times than positive. And to have that direct impact back at me was great today. So that's kind of what I'm thankful for. That's kind of my thankful story. So I thank Ryan for that. Maybe he's watching. I don't know. But it was really special. And there's some special stories in here and fun ones I also want to share too. But what I'm going to do is, I don't want to do all the talking. So we're going to take another break. It's kind of a traditional radio show. You see how we're doing this every like 15 minutes. We'll take a little break here as we reach our halfway point of this show. When we come back, I'll share a couple more Thanksgiving stories, some funny that you might enjoy. And I'm eager to hear some of yours. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Hi, this is Tim Hollenbach, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the FSHD University. FSHD University is your center for advanced education about the art and science of living with FSH muscular dystrophy. The inspiration for FSHDU emerged from the success of the Sequester Camp series, which was a weekly program launched by the FSHD Society team when the COVID-19 pandemic forced widespread social distance. We will focus on these three departments on FSHD University: physical health, mental health, and research, drawing on the many resourceful, creative people in our community who have earned their MDs and PhDs in living with FSHD. Over time, we expect to establish new departments to address additional areas where we see a thirst for knowledge. Your input and suggestions are very much welcome. This is your university, the FSHD Society University. To find out more, visit fshdsociety.org. Welcome back, FSHD Society Radio Show here. Thanksgiving Eve is upon us, and what are you thankful for? Some people have shared their blessings and things they're thankful for, and Williams has shared hers. We also had June Kinoshita say, I'm grateful for having the privilege of serving the FSHD community. I've met so many incredible people on this journey. Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, it's a time to kind of reflect as we use this time to celebrate our harvest of life and what we've done over this past year as a community, as a group. We've done some amazing things in the FSHD Society group for sure. The chapter directors and walk leaders and all of you that participated in the walk and roll event that would not let it die, that would not just push it by the wayside and say, well, COVID hit, we couldn't do it. No, we did it. San Diego led the way with theirs as they piloted and steamrolled it through and had a couple little tech glitches as we handled that one, but it was a great, exciting event, And that just led into the full out virtual walk and roll, which also was a huge blessing. So for that, I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for the team of people that when I do these kind of things, those larger events like Giving Tuesday coming up, that I am not alone. I am not. There are so many people that have worked hard on top of all the other things they do for the FSHD Society, not just the little shows and the events and these things, but juggling all these tasks. Talk about master multitaskers. To help out and to basically help produce now these events with me has been a huge help. You know, last year when I did the Giving Tuesday radiothon, the telethon then, now, you know, radiothon makes more sense. I was just hoping that each guest would just answer the phone as I went from, you know, one guest, took a break, made a call, guest answers, did the interview, took a break, made a call, et cetera, and just kept going. 31 guests. That's how many we had last show or last time we did Giving Tuesday. I think it's up in that event, you know, up in that mark of guests that we're going to have again. Since I'm talking about it now, to kind of plug some of those guests, you know, Mark Stone, Scott Harper, John Hogan, Robert Gould of Fulcrum, Chris Carino, who I'm so looking forward to talking to again, the Brooklyn Nets announcer as FSHD, and talking, he's going to talk about his Carino Foundation. Molly White from Dyne Therapeutics, Amy Beckier, David Younger, Kylie Higgs, Curtis and Allison Calder, the Utah Chapter Group. They have a phenomenal business, and some of that business, the money goes back to FSHD Society. Sue Allmiller, Angela Leck, the list goes on and on and on. Heidi Roy, Max Adler, Joshua Bregman, the musician, Stephen Blyer, the musician, Lexi Pappas. So many great people taking time out to be a part of that event, to help us raise money. We have amazing sponsors as well. I'll have to probably search my email quickly to do that. You know, I'm also thankful for the people I've met, one of which just chimed in, George Pollock, who says, love the Clement photo. George, you are awesome. Great leader and human being. Sends me this picture. I don't know if you can see it all. It's right here over my shoulder, which it will reside from here till forever. It is Roberto Clemente in the middle of a sea of people that followed him, not just as a baseball player, but as a human being, and a Pittsburgh Pirate. So I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. I love the Pittsburgh community and the type of people they are. And I love baseball. And George hit it right on the mark by sending me that picture. Thank you. It was meaningful. Thank you. A lot of thought I think you put into that. So I appreciate that. I'm thankful for you, George. Thank you. Also, yesterday I had the immense honor of going into the Caregiver Sharegiver event that they do monthly. Sue is here right now on the show watching. Yeah. Sue just to talk about Caregiver Sharegivers. Yeah, she's plugging like crazy. It was great. It is Thanksgiving for sure. The people that are caregivers, they were sharing. And I felt that I'm not a caregiver, so I was a little reluctant to join, and I didn't want to like nose in something that is more precious to that part of our community. But I was welcomed in very much so, and loved hearing their feedback. Their amazing stories of how they work through things, and I think everyone is just grateful for our caregivers, and that we give them a place that they can, or Sue does. Sue gives them a place through our FSHD Society that they can go and share. So I wrote down during that meeting, thankful for a caregiver meeting. So when I was in the meeting, I was like writing things down, which is what I do. It helps me remember. It helps me, put importance on things. And that's one thing I wrote down because it was important. I wanted to make sure I touched on that I'm thankful for caregivers, but I'm thankful for that group. So that's what I'm thankful for. So that picture says it all, George. That is you. I don't know, man. I could never play ball like that guy. Roberto Clemente was phenomenal, phenomenal human being. You know, passed away as a giver, you know, totally themed in for today. As we embark on Thanksgiving Eve. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Here's a story that I want to share with you here. This is from Regina Andrews. I found it online under, if you just Google Thanksgiving stories, and what makes me thankful, it says. I am most grateful when everyone has pulled into the driveway at the end of the day and we are home together, safe and sound. Maybe this story offers a glimpse into why I feel like that, says Regina. It was Thanksgiving Day, 1945. My mother and her family were finishing Thanksgiving dinner at their home by the beach in Barrington when the phone rang. My mother knew who it was right away. "It's Ed," she declared, rushing to answer the phone, and she was right. My father had just returned from World War II, landing in New York. He called my mother and told her he would be getting on a train to Providence as soon as possible. It was the first time they had spoken to each other in 4 years. 4 years. The recruit from Mount Pleasant had shipped out for duty in Africa right after their wedding. Back then, it wasn't really easy to make an international phone call, so they waited for 4 years. When they were reunited the next day, I don't think they ever spent a day apart again. Ever. As a family, we relive that wonderful moment together every Thanksgiving year after year to this very day. In a world where there's so much chaos and uncertainty, I think of my parents' story, how brave they were, all the sacrifices they made, and what a miracle it was that my father came home safe. They always said those 4 years apart went slower than all the years they shared together. My parents appreciate every day, and it rubbed off on me. That's why this year and every day, I'm so thankful that everyone is home, safe, and sound. That's a story by Regina Andrews that I found and had to share. I thought it was great, simple, and right to the point. And that's what it's about. I think it really got me when she said, I'm thankful for when people pull into the driveway every day when the day ends and you settle in at home. And I've thought about that concept because when my kids and life was more full out and you're running around and doing the things you do, how independent you really are within the day. My wife goes to her job. I went to my job. My kids go to each of their schools. We regroup, and then sometimes we go off in pairs again to do our own things. But that moment around the kitchen table is the best. It's like my little mini Thanksgiving I try to get every day when I can get it. And those are great times because we've all been doing different things in all different places and we found our way back, and it's special. And that to me is what kind of Thanksgiving is, whatever that may be for you, whatever amount of that it is, right? Let's see here. See if I can find something a little more funny. These are some like kind of cooking, oh my goodness, tragic stories here. This one's titled, Uncle Bob Lends a Hand. The author says, I spent my first Thanksgiving with my husband in his Irish-Italian neighborhood in New York City. As a newcomer, I was placed in charge of boiling 15 pounds of potatoes. When they were ready, I picked up the pan, surveyed the crowded kitchen for a sink in which to drain them. My husband's elderly Uncle Bob guided me to a small half bathroom and grabbed the steaming pot. He started to drain the potatoes in the toilet. Sorry. But he lost his grip on the lid and all the potatoes tumbled in. I screamed, oh no! But Uncle Bob began fishing the potatoes out of the toilet. No one will ever know, he whispered. Now just go out there and mash them. Sometime later, during the meal, my husband's Aunt Tot leaned over and whispered, your potatoes are delicious. I think you're going to fit into this family quite nicely. That's called Uncle Bob Lends a Hand. So I've never had that happen. I've never had it where I've dropped potatoes in the toilet. That was a new one. I had to share that one. I was like, I've never heard of that one. I can see it, though. Crowded kitchen. Where do I go? Got to drain these. They're done. Okay. Oops. You eat them anyway. Is that like a 5-second rule? I'm not sure. Here's another one. This one's called cold turkey. When Ken and Lydia were given a turkey to raise for Thanksgiving, Lydia took on the responsibility with enthusiasm. She fed it, talked to it. So this is, they're raising a live turkey. Keep this in mind. Before Thanksgiving, well before Thanksgiving. Okay, so back to the story. She fed it, talked to it, and far ahead of time invited both sets of parents to the bigger dinner. As the day drew closer to the holiday, though, Lydia became more and more quiet. Finally, on the day before the big feast, Lydia burst into tears and told her husband, Ken, I can't do it. Ken calmed her and promised that he would take care of everything. He went outside and after a short while returned with a limp turkey under his arm, trailing a whiff of chloroform behind him. Putting the bird in the refrigerator, he suggested they go to bed and deal with dinner preparations in the morning. So if you can picture, he basically chloroformed the turkey that they raised for months because she could not bring herself to kill the thing, right? To kill it. The next day, Lydia woke early and went to the kitchen. She opened the refrigerator door and out flopped the turkey. Her screams brought Ken rushing down to find his wife on the floor in a dead faint and the turkey tottering unsteadily around the room. When Lydia revived, Ken had put the turkey out in the yard where it lived out its life free from stress and fear of extinction. As far as that, we decided to go out to eat. No one ordered turkey. So don't, moral of the story, don't raise your own turkey just to kill it on Thanksgiving. I think I saw that coming when they said that Lydia was naming the turkey. I'm like, oh no, and talking to it. She's getting attached. I'm sure any good farmer would say, or someone that raises that kind of thing to eat, don't do that. don't do that. So if you got some stories, please go ahead. You can share those now, either through the chat room, email, if you'd like. There's a phone number. I suppose you could try that. We got some. We got about 15 minutes left of the show. It's 414-375-2561. That's open if you wanna call in for it. This is the COVID Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving list, what people are thankful for kind of in this time. So I've kind of brought these together for you. These are a little more lighthearted, so keep that in mind. In any given year, Stephanie Coleman can recite reasons she is thankful on Thanksgiving in a list that includes her children, her husband, friends, extended family, and the 6 chickens in her backyard. This year, she is grateful for the locked door on the door in her attic where she flees to escape her family. She is grateful for the lock on her bedroom door, which prevents her kids from barging in at any moment to tattle on the other or whine for more screen time. She is grateful for her Honda Pilot, which she drives around her northeast Washington neighborhood to regain the composure necessary to return to the demands of a pandemic motherhood. I used to think I didn't spend enough time at home, Coleman said. Now it's like, get me out of the house. The holidays are the reason when tradition encourages a humble tolling of all that should be appreciated. A confection of home and family and future shimmering with promise. But divining this list can be challenging when your home has turned into a minimum security prison and your people, that once fascinating partner or those once adorable urchins, won't go away ever, not even for a second. She writes very well, I must say, the Stephanie Coleman. As with most aspects of life, the coronavirus has done a number on what deserves appreciation. The most prosaic and routines can now deliver delight, like a bona fide night of restful sleep or a prolonged moment of enriching silence. It's amazing how we've all kind of minimalized, right, our things now. I'm just thankful for peace and quiet. I'm thankful for my car so I can just take a lap around the block and get my own space. I think that's what this pandemic, this COVID time has taught us is appreciate the small things. Become a minimalist. That's what it's done. Here's another one. This Thanksgiving, I want to be grateful for my health like someone's just beaten cancer. Grateful for my home like someone who's been sleeping on the streets. Grateful for the air I breathe like someone who's just come off a ventilator. Grateful for the freedom of democracy like someone who's lived in a country without freedom. And most of all, in a year where, to date, 254,000 families have an empty chair at their Thanksgiving tables from a virus we didn't know existed a year ago. I want to be grateful for the people I love like someone who's buried their loved ones. That is a little write-up there by Julie Schlegel. Thank you, Julie, for that. So, yeah, right? It kind of puts things in perspective. That one's a little more on the downside, but it has to be said. Be grateful for the things as if, you know, from the perspective of someone that doesn't have. And that's what it's about. This is a tough Thanksgiving. And however you're spending it, I hope you do spend it with loved ones. If it's virtually, if you have the opportunity to do it face-to-face safely, somewhat, right, face-to-face, maybe mask-to-mask, that would be great. So it's time where we're kind of wrapping up shop here, closing down the show, the Thanksgiving show. I really want to thank all of you for joining, those that have and chimed in a little bit. Much appreciated. Grateful that you did so. Next, we're going to have in our events here coming up is, as I grab my quick copy of this stuff, making sure I don't forget a single solitary thing that's happening. Maybe Sue can tell us when the next caregiver sharegiver is. In the meanwhile, it's going to be in December, I'm sure. Maybe before Christmas. If she's still on here, she can plug it. But for the events that I have, is the big event is the Giving Tuesday event coming up next Tuesday. That's December 1st. It is going to be a day-long event where we have guests coming on from 8 a.m., this is all Central Time, to 10 p.m., all on that Tuesday. I have amazing support with Jun Kinoshita and Lee Reynolds, and I know I'm forgetting more people. Beth Johnston, I know there's others that are helping out as well as our amazing sponsors. I know Diane is one of those sponsors, as we're going to put on this day-long event that I'm excited for. I'm paging through all the people that we're going to be talking to throughout the day, including Max Adler, Heidi Roy, Sue Drescher will be there. I know she's going to talk about her caregiver, sharegiver. We have a recorded interview with Ryan Levinson. That's going to be fun to share. I talked to him earlier because, you know, he's not on the internet all the time give us a live interview during the show. So he was kind enough to do pre-recorded. And David Younger and Kelly Higgs and so many others all there. And I think the whole event page is out there on fshdsociety.org. Check that out. Then on the 2nd, the very next day, I'm not going to stop because I will come back again the very next day on the 2nd of December with our featured guest, ACLU attorney. Ed Barakas is going to come on, and he's from the ACLU out of New Jersey, retired lawyer, I believe. But we're going to talk about civil rights and getting into a deep conversation with Ed. We had to postpone that interview from November because it was election time, and I don't think we're going to get a lot of listeners, so we moved it to December, so I'm excited to talk to Ed. Sue chimes in with December 29th for the caregiver sharegiver, so remember that. Mark your calendars now. We'll plug it again throughout the month that we're still here weekly. Then on 12/5 in December, big day, where you have the year-end chapter meetings for Pennsylvania, I believe. We have Arizona, Idaho, Utah. The one in Pennsylvania will be 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. The Arizona, Idaho, Utah, and Pacific Northwest meeting will be 2 to 3:30 p.m. And the Toronto chapter meeting as well, 11 to 12 p.m. That one's Eastern. So check out those times, those events in detail at fshdsociety.org under events. And then finishing up the events on 12/6 is the California year-end chapter meeting from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. So that takes us through a good chunk of the first week of December. A lot going on as chapters are kind of closing up their year by having those year-end events. So I hope you can join. Those are all be virtual as far as I know. I'm looking forward to when those can be face-to-face again, even though it's fun kind of slip in there if I can on some of those virtual events, and I hope you do as well. So whatever you do tomorrow on Thanksgiving, I hope it is blessed. I hope it is everything you can make it be to be positive. Don't get it so great where it becomes a tradition every year, right? We do want to meet our family again, see them again, greet them at the door, host them perhaps, or maybe be hosted by them in years coming. But just this one year, it's okay that we kind of shift it and be safe. And I wish you the best on Thanksgiving and all blessings that I can give you. And I'm very grateful for this community. It has saved me more times than I can count, the FSHD Society community and all you FSHDers out there. So happy Thanksgiving to you all. We'll see you on Giving Tuesday. That'll be the next event. Take care. God bless. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.